Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
All right, the iPad Act has been amended. The question is, what does this all mean? Chair Thomas is an IRS forensic investigator on the line with us. A very good evening, Mr. Thomas, for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening to you and the listeners.
All right, is this just overall, before we go into the details, is it a good move?
Excellent move. In fact, it gives the power behind the name Independent Police Investigative Directorate. It gives it the independence it's been needing all along.
Because exactly to that, one of the things that was an issue with the iPad Act was the lack of independence.
That's right. It's like almost having the police themselves.
Yes.
Because of the reporting structures. Now, the Independent Police Investigative Directorate, iPad, as we know, came into effect in 2011. It followed on what was called the Independent Complaints Directorate, the ICD, and they decided that the ICD needed more teeth, hence the promulgation of the iPad Act. But we've seen over the years the decline in the kind of powers that one would expect of iPad to have. And not just that, but the budget constraints have led to a disastrous situation that exists within IPIT. If I could give you these figures that came out during June this year with the attorney, the Auditor General's Office of South Africa, they looked at IPIT and they said at any current time, there's only 120 IPIT investigators serving 150,000 police members.
Wow.
That was, if you look at it on a per capita basis, that's one IPAD investigator for every 1,250 police officers in South Africa. And they had a backlog of almost 80% in respect of their investigations into criminality involving police officers.
I mean, then what was the success rate at this ratio?
The backlog was 80%. The success rate doesn't get shared.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, the Act then, does it provide or at least give allocation to a bigger budget, this being the case, what you've just given us now?
It does, and it speaks to a lot more independence, a lot more resources being opened up, but most importantly, the independence of the director to make critical decisions as into how those resources and budget will be adequately positioned in respect of the taskings of these members. One must remember, if we've got a police force of about 180,000 members, of which 150,000 are operational, IPAD is responsible for investigating serious crimes purportedly committed by police officers. They have to investigate every shooting that takes place where there's a police officer involved. And now, with the extended powers, every rape allegation they have to look at. But it's not just the South African police services they're responsible for. They're also responsible for investigating metropolitan police forces as well as municipal police forces.
And in this case, they have to investigate whether someone was on duty or off duty.
So that's, you know, coming from a policing and military background, a police officer can literally come on duty in a second. They can place themselves on duty depending on the situation that they're in. So the actions of them have to be investigated, whether they were on duty performing the functions of a police officer, or whether they were off duty and something happened where they were present and they then did something that could be termed within their policing powers. For example, if they are purportedly off duty in a place of entertainment like a tavern, but they're still armed with their service pistol, they get into a scuffle and they use that pistol, would that now fall under the ambit of IPAD?
So let's talk about how this Act strengthens the implementation of the recommendations, because there have been issues about how much, you know, one would actually implement the recommendations. It has been a bit weak.
It has been, and it comes down to one of the biggest constraints we've seen in respect of budget. We see this happen with all investigative type units. When one looks at the DPCR, for example, colloquially known as the Hawks, they don't receive their full budget. They get perhaps 50 to 55% of the intended budget. When the investigating directorate was established, they were starting off with a paltry 100 million per annum. That's now been increased to 350 million per annum, and they expected to investigate serious corruption. when one looks at IPED, if they were in a position to only employ operationally less than 150 investigators, it speaks to the fact that these units are throttled simply because they don't have enough resources and budget. With this particular amendment to the Act taking place, we're going to see far more resources opening up for them. And it's not just the fact that they need resources, they also need the authority to be able to take an investigation and to further their implementation of the recommendation. Because as it stands right now, they will make recommendations, and those recommendations may not necessarily be followed by the SACS disciplinary committees. They may not lead to criminal charges.
Mm-hmm.
And IPED has gone to the extent of investigating serious crimes, and they're not seeing results as a result of what they've investigated. Perhaps now, with this added authority that they've been granted, they can see the cases through from beginning to end without having to rely on third parties within the police to actually take heed of their advice, to take heed of their recommendations, and to implement those recommendations, because they will now be able to do it themselves.
Does the appointment of the directorate, which does come into play here, how much does it matter who appoints a directorate?
Extremely important. We've seen in the past how CADA deployment has resulted in a lack of oversight, because the person appointed is appointed in a manner that could be deemed to be somewhat, I don't want to say shady, because that would cast a doubt on a lot of appointments. But when you're talking about political appointees into these kind of posts, you expect that the person being appointed would then have a certain amount of loyalty to the persons that have appointed. Whereas if you're appointed by a parliamentary oversight process and there's a sitting committee that determines it and all parties are involved, it's done in a transparent manner that includes public input, it changes the entire dynamic. We stop talking about political appointees. We stop talking about CADA deployment. And we see people being appointed on merit based on the fact that they can do the job, not because of who they know.
So when would this come into effect? In this sense, you already have cases that are already in the roll right now. And a case that everybody has been following, I think, is the case of the Paul Mashatile motorcade that everybody has watched on social media and has been following up on. Would this new act now kick in while this case is still ongoing, or this would have to be fall outside of that?
Well, that case is already in momentum. It's enrolled,
yes,
and it's going through the course of the judicial process.
Mm.
You must understand you can't apply laws retrospectively. So anything that's already in flux continues to be in flux, and you can't now change it because there's a new piece of legislation in place.
You can't change it, but you can just implement it, can't you?
No, it's already in flux.
It's not retrospective. You're just hopping onto a new story.
Yeah,
look, I get what you're saying. No, I'm just being silly. I get exactly what you're saying.
I think we're in a brilliant position where we are at this point in time, when one looks at the fact that these units are being given the ability to grow. We saw that some new members were allocated to the Hawks previously. We saw the independent, or the investigating directorate rather, becoming the investigating directorate against corruption. They're going to have their own act. They're going to have their own unit independent of the NPA. And now we see these amendments in respect of IPED. So all in all, we've seen positive moves within the criminal justice cluster to be able to empower these units, that these units can go out and enforce the legislation that they're responsible for. If one looks, however, at IPED in hindsight, and you look at the sheer volume of cases they've had, your heart bleeds for them. When you're talking about 122 people investigating 150,000 people with an 80% backlog, your heart genuinely bleeds for these people, because you think to yourself, how is it even possible that they functioned up until this point?
I want to be the angel of doom now and go back to this retrospective thing. If there was a case that was completed on the previous IPED Directorate Act, the Police Investigative Directorate Act 2011, Can you appeal on the new act, on the amendment, on the amended act?
No. Can't be applied retrospectively. The majority of the act remains in force. These amendments are just to empower the executive director that much more to be able to ensure that the functions are without fear, favor, prejudice, or without undue influence. And how it's going to work is, you know, to ensure that the powers that are there are effectively utilized, that further resources are open. But the actual investigation, how those investigations take place, nothing changes there. And look, there's been some incredible leadership over the years. If you look at Matthew Sesoko, who for many years was a very senior director of IFRED, he now sits in the investigating directorate as the lead investigator into state capture. Mm. So some really, really genuinely hardworking individuals have come out of IFRED and have joined other units because of their successes. It's just that they've been so very constrained by the existing legislation, and these amendments are going to make it that much easier for them to be able to fulfill their mandates.
Mm. Some of these things take a while. For instance, the budget you just referred to, allocation of these budgets may take a while. They may not necessarily be immediately available to IPED. Just talk to us about the semantics and how we're likely to see this happen and kick in.
Well, it all depends on Treasury. It depends on the executive, how and when we see further budget be made available. We've just gone through an election. We've seen a lot of activity happening in respect of the Government of National Unity, the appointment of ministers. We're going to see new DGs. We're going to see new heads of department coming into play. And, of course, we've already had our budget speech this year, so we know what the budget is. We're not going to see any drastic changes in budget now.
Yeah.
2025, 2026 is where we're going to see most of the changes implemented. We're hoping that more funds will be made available to what will then be IDAC, to the Asset Forfeiture Unit, to the DPCI. I had a conversation today with a very senior member of the DPCI, and I was saying to them that the government has to look at units like the Hawks, units like the Asset Forfeiture Unit, units like the Investigating Directorate as a return on investment, because these units have to go after those people that have funded the public
purse,
and they can bring money back into the fiscus.
Yeah.
And government, then we get a return. Mm. They need to take a chance on these units. And you're not going to look on a return on investment, but what you are going to get is the public realizing that the state is taking their plight seriously, because unfortunately, although the majority of police officers are good, there is a bad element. When you're talking about an organization sized between 150 and 180,000 people, of course there's going to be bad apples there. And the public in a lot of areas and suburbs and policing districts have lost faith in their local police. If they see IPED doing their job, they're going to regain that trust. They're going to know that at least those police officers can be held to account. But right now, 122 people with a backlog of 80%, there's no way that they are making even the slightest dent in that minority of police officers who happen to be corrupt or criminal.
I suppose we just have to be optimistic. It's a step in the right direction, maybe slow, but we're going there, right? I suppose that's the attitude.
Listen, everything in our country is going the right way. When one looks at our election, it proved that we have a functioning and dynamic democracy. We saw how the parties have come together, and we've seen that all that doom and gloom and all the rumor mongering that we were going to experience another July 2021 unrest was nothing more than just that, rumor mongering. As a country, we've come together, and I'm the eternal optimist, but we can see government is implementing change because they want to service the people, and there's been this swing in attitude. It's almost as if they've reached this moment where they've had an epiphany and realized that they're in service to the people rather than in service to themselves.
All right, Chad, you optimistic. I suppose it's going to rub off. Thank you so much. Chad Thomas is an IRS forensic investigator. He says, well, this is a step in the right direction. What we are definitely going to see, though, just on a serious note, is that there will be more independence just by virtue of the fact that we will have more budget allocations. The scope is going to broaden of the cases that, you know, IPED can investigate, for instance. And there are things that are clarified, you know, whether something was done on duty, off duty. It's not only murder cases, it's also rape cases. So it's a step in the right direction. And I think if the people in the sector are saying so, I suppose we'll have to wait and see. But it does sound like this is a good move.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.